I know I don't need to tell you that we are living in hard times. The news, politics, protests, kidnapping of immigrants we just heard about too this morning in our local area, wars, runaway inflation, climate change denial, and on and on and on. Just when we think it can't get worse, it does. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty angry. And I know I'm a minister. I'm supposed to calm people and make their lives easier to help them forget about all those things. But I'm sorry, I just don't have the energy for that sometimes. I'm angry about the lies, the brutality, the kidnappings, the detentions, the deportation, the murders. And I have to acknowledge and proclaim that just to move on and hope that things will get better is not enough. So I really needed to hear this sermon this morning. I'm so glad you're here. You gave me this opportunity to express my frustration and hopefully to suggest some ways that all of us, including me, can find a way to live lives with more calm, at least every now and again. We can't just remain angry forever. I tried for a while, some of you may have done this, tried to turn off the news and not engage. That didn't work, because there was always something that could crept in and I found out about it and then it just, so that didn't last very long. So we need to decide what we're going to do about it. One of the things I love about our seven principles, you remember, we believe in affirming and promoting, not just affirming, not just talking about it, but doing something about it. The reason that I became a Unitarian Universalist almost 60 years ago now was that I felt I needed to come and join and be a part of a religious group that did something, didn't just say things that I discovered, unfortunately, weren't true about what they believed. So here we are. What can we do to act for good? And I'd like for you to help me find a way to live into our promise, to live into our covenant, to live into our passions. If you read the description of this sermon, it began with an inspirational reading by Albert Einstein. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. Now, I'm not talking here about supernatural miracles. I haven't experienced any of those. What I'm here to talk to you about, some unusual event, an accomplishment that seemed impossible. And if there's anything that seems impossible, it's turning all this stuff that's going on around. So today I'm talking about what we can do, about what we can do to change things as Unitarian Universalists, particularly in the area of social justice. I know there are lots of other things to talk about Unitarian Universalism, but what I have found is that my passion is to find a way to make the world we live in better, at least by a little bit, because we've been here. Now, many of you know that I take groups of people from our area and up to Ventura to the Adelanto Detention Center. It's about two-plus hours from here in the Mojave Desert. And in fact, several of our members here have gone with me, and I'm going to be making two more trips toward the end of this month and the beginning of next month, and some more people from this congregation. So that's always an invitation. But when I first started going there, I didn't realize it was going to change my life. just going to show up for these people who in many cases have lost all hope. They're lonely. They've been taken from their homes. They've been placed in an environment where, and now if you've read anything in the papers, you know that it is unhealthy to live in these places. There was a lawsuit that told Adelanto to clean up its act. I went there a week later and talked to some of the detainees who said, well, they hadn't seen any changes yet. But they're not going to do anything until they are made to do something. So the lawsuit is a great start. We need to figure out what we're going to do in addition to that. I go and I listen to the stories that are beyond anything I could imagine happening to me. A young woman who was, when she went, and you've heard this before, went for her regular check-in, and she was taken into custody, leaving two teenage daughters back at home with no family members who could come to see her because they don't have their papers either, so they can't show up and visit her. When I went to visit her, she broke into tears multiple times. She was taking me, I'm used to working outside. She was a farm worker. She's used to working outside, and here she is in these concrete walls with mold growing on many of them, drinking water that tastes and smells terrible when they have water. And so I tried to find some ways in which there was a miracle in all of this. And it doesn't happen all the time, but I'd like to tell you the story of a young man from Kenya. I met, this was way back at the beginning of my visits. He was from Kenya and he had graduated from UCLA, had overstayed his student visa, and because of minor traffic violation, they discovered that he had overstayed his visa. He had been there when I first started visiting with him for 4 years. This is not a short-term vacation. We had incredible discussions. He was very, very bright. He'd studied many different religions. We had discussions about whether we believed in prayer or not. I spent another year having conversations with him until finally his appeals ran out. Meanwhile, he had been helping other people fill out their paperwork so they could get out, hopefully. But his luck ran out and he was sent back to Kenya. He was gay. Anybody need to know about how Kenya feels about gay people? So he was living in a house where he and a number of other gay men were living, a house that was established by the UN. During the time there, he was carted to the police department headquarters. One time he got some of his teeth knocked out. This was just for living there, not for anything they were doing. Then the people in the village started chasing him every time they went out with rocks and sticks. I was fortunately, and I didn't even know about WhatsApp before this all happened, we were able to communicate via WhatsApp. We found an organization called Rainbow Railroad. But what they did was to help gay people get out of places where they were trapped, detention or other places, and send them to a place that was safe. It took him almost 3 years to get accepted because it's an expensive proposition for them to do that. He finally let me know that he was going to get sent to Denmark. I don't know much about Denmark's feelings about gay rights, but certainly a lot better than Kenya. So he's getting on the plane, and I'm talking to him, and he says, Ma, because many of these, since I'm an older person, you probably didn't realize that. he said, Ma, I'm waiting. I'm almost on the plane. I'll let you know when I get there. I didn't hear from him for 2 months. I thought, the worst thing in the world could happen. Had happened. And then in 2 months, he said, Hi, Ma, I'm in Brazil. Well, this was during COVID, and evidently, because people were working from home, somehow his orders got shifted. Not only was he living in Brazil, he landed in Sao Paulo, which is a conclave for gay people in Brazil, got a job with a German company, and now, because we've kept in touch, now he is traveling for the company. I said, well, I wouldn't come to the U.S. right now. So that's a miracle to me. And it wasn't because of anything supernatural. It was just people caring about people. People helping those in need. But some stories, unfortunately, are not so positive. We all know about the man who was killed at the ICE raid in Camarillo because he was trying to get away. Wasn't a danger to anyone. There was also another man that I had talked to for, I guess, a year and a half, 2 years, who was deported back to a Western African country. And I, by the way, since I talk mostly about Africans, it's because I don't speak Spanish. And the Africans speak English, so that's good. He went back and got married, had a baby daughter whose middle name is Betty. Aww. It was pretty exciting. But he never did really get established economically. He didn't have a lot of skills. And so mostly what he was doing is delivering toiletries to people out in the open areas. And ultimately, he contracted cancer and died about 8 months ago. I haven't heard anything more from his wife or his daughter, and I hope they're okay. And then there's one other young man who actually, I don't guess any of you met him, but anyway, he came to visit us for a week. He said, Ma, I really want to come visit you. So he said, okay. He come and stayed, and we took him around various places. Here's what's happened to him. When he first got to, he got married. I won't tell you the whole story, but I really was not thinking this was going to work out. And it did. They're madly in love, which is great. She had two teenage sons. He had never had any children, had never been married. It was a miracle. But then what has happened most recently in the last 7 or 8 months is that he has lost his work permit. No reason. So basically I said, so what are you doing now? He said, well, I'm working out and I'm watching a lot of TV. I don't know what will happen to him. I don't know what will happen in Rhode Island. So something that inspires me when I think about how to deal with all these things is our Unitarian Universalist Covenant. Oh, by the way, the church in Santa Paula calls itself Universalist Unitarian because they were Universalist first. But the covenant centered, if you remember this, centered love. And I thought about this because I was speaking with a panel at Cal Lutheran many years ago now, and we were telling about our religious traditions, and I made a big thing about how one of the main ideas in Unitarian Universalism was love. And at the end of the conversations, a young woman stood up and said, Unitarian Universalism is about love? Is that all? And I thought, not enough. But the fact is, and we're not talking about the romantic love. We're talking about love for human beings. Compassion. The thing that I just don't understand when I see some of these hateful things that are said and done to people, how they can live with themselves. How can you not love compassionately other human beings, no matter who they are? And this is a funny part about that covenant. How many of you know about Jet Pig? Okay, there are a few of you know about Jet Pig. Well, when I was growing up, one of the things that we learned about was mnemonic devices. This is a mnemonic device that has been made up because there are six circles. If you've seen the picture, there's a chalice in the middle with love, and then around it, these six other aspects of love. And in order to remember them, you just have to remember Jet Pig. J is for justice. E is for equity. I haven't memorized the whole mnemonic. I know the letters, but I don't always remember the words. T is for transformation. P is for pluralism. I is for interdependence. And G is for generosity. I think you all know about those things. And what I've seen since I've been back, and it was 16 years before I came back, I kept trying not to retire again, and it didn't work out too well. I know you do these things, but I want to encourage us. We can make a difference. It may not feel like it. You gather together with other people and you protest and you speak and you take people to Adelanto and you become a sponsor for a person who needs a sponsor to help them after they get out. You're doing something. And I just have to believe, and I don't want to be naive, I just have to believe that there are enough good people in the world, and a great bunch of them here, who care, who want to make a difference. But how do we cope? How do we cope when it just seems like everything we do ends in failure, or at least not total success? I want to talk about the importance of being in a community. We talk a lot about beloved community, not just any old group, but people who care about each other, who care about other people out in the world. Being with other people who care can keep you, well, almost sane. I started to say sane, but no, almost sane. Maybe being almost sane is as good as it gets for now. But the fact is that we went, actually, and I want to put in a plug for Dependable Pines. We went last week, and I'm a little concerned because Tom was getting ready to leave when I left, and I don't see him, so I'll check in after the service. Oh, there you are. How did you sneak in? Okay. But we went to Dependable Pines for 4 days, had singing bowls out in the open, if you can imagine. Those of you who've been there, big trees, the singing bowls. We sang, we had speakers, we had workshops and discussions. It was amazing. So that's what community can do. Have any of you read Bowling Alone a long time ago? Bowling Alone was written by Robert Putnam, and I remember being very much impressed by that. The idea that today people don't join the way they used to. They used to join bowling leagues, and that was the reason for his title. But it's important not to be an isolationist, and I'm an introvert. I know that comes as a surprise to some of you. I've learned how to function in an extroverted world, but to stay by yourself, to hide your talents under a bushel, you need friends. You need people who will be with you in this place. The fact is, you know that. You've got choir and community forums and climate action groups and neighborhood networks, and I didn't even write down all of them. There are lots of smaller groups within this larger community. Figure out what you can do with the help of others. Alone, our power is limited. With other people, we can make a difference. And we need to find a way to live our values. I can't tell you what your passion is. You need to figure that out for yourself. But I think that if we find what that is, maybe your passion is climate justice. Maybe your passion is LGBTQ rights. And they're not mutually exclusive, because there's this interrelationship between all of those things about being there for other people. The miracle to me, and there are many, is that we can live our values in this world, in this country, in this congregation. And I remember some very important quotes that have been great inspirations for me in my time of despair. The words of Catholic activist Dorothy Day that are in our hymnal: "No one has the right to sit down and feel helpless. There's too much work to do." That's putting it right where it is, isn't it? And perhaps the touchstone for me is a quote by Unitarian minister Edward Everett Hale, also in our hymnal: "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something I can do." It's a miracle. The fact is that it's great to think profound thoughts, but unless they result in something that changes things, they're just internal machinations about what you believe. And then a quote by Mahatma Gandhi. I'm choosing the heavy hitters here today. Who said, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." So I believe that we can create miracles. And I hope that you do too. My only question is, what are we waiting for? It's not going to get better without us.